as the war progressed, there were less men. And men would come in hoping to be deferred from various types of jobs. And but they didn't defer. They still had to go. So it gradually got to a point where there were only 5 or 6 men to 20 women.
Were there jobs that women didn't do, or were they?
Oh, they never put the women into sandblasting, which is part of the steel, getting ready for steel welding. No, there wasn't. I think that's the only one I knew of. The rest of them, women did everything. They were on every. Drop hammers, crane operators, everything.
Why would they not be put on sandblasting?
They'd have to wear the snorkel and it gets in your hair. Oh, sandblasting is terrible because well, it could be very injurious to your health, very. But I never knew of a woman to be put on it. It could have been, but I never knew it. I know that different men in the department were asked if they wouldn't go and sandblast. But that wasn't very often. They all hated it. I guess the sand got down in the inside their collars, and I guess just like Mount St. Helens, the grit was there.
Were you aware of union activity during the war?
Well, it was in the last part of the war. Yes, I was aware of it. I didn't join until after the war was over.
What kinds of things went on during the war around the union?
You mean union
yes.
activities?
Yes.
Well, it was quite secret. They claimed different ones would beat up a union. But I never believed all that stuff. I just wasn't about to be taken in on something, a hearsay. But yeah, they said that the union members were beat up by Douglas, strong boys. But I never saw anything or knew of anybody who was. They just tell us that. And they would try and get us to join. And then they had a election. They had an election where all of us were asked to go and take this paper into a booth and sign whether we wanted the union or we didn't. By my book, we didn't. I don't know how anybody else, but They must have passed because the union went in then. Yeah, but I didn't join until after the war was over. The last year I worked there, then I joined. The pressures were beginning to build up, you know.
What kinds of pressures?
Well, union pressure. Join or else. And you'll have a job if you join the union, and you can complain, or you can't if you didn't belong.
Why did you not join sooner?
Well, frankly, I didn't believe in the union. I didn't.
Do you want to expand on that?
Well, I just felt that I'd been treated fairly. And I had no complaints with Douglas at all. I got my raises as they said I'd get them. I got to be a mechanic welder, all on without belonging. So why pay out money and that I could use to a better advantage?
So after you joined, were you involved in any activities, union activities
no,
at all?
No, none whatever. I adopted it when I was laid off. And I came under that group that was going to be laid off, seniority-wise. And so I didn't keep up my dues or anything. However, when I went back to work, that was the first thing the union said. Long before, now you better join now. So I joined again. But when they had a strike, I didn't go along with it. And I went back in. I heard nothing from them. And only one or two of the union men ever said anything to me. The rest of them treated me just the same, and so I had never broke strike. But I didn't pay my dues, I told them. What made me really upset over the whole thing at the start of the strike, I didn't believe in it, and I've had the most seniority there, and I asked to be advanced, and one of the union stewards said, well, no, they had men that they would do the job better. And then he absconded with $10,000 of the union money. So I thought, well, now what's all this? He was putting me down, and then he takes off with the money. So I'll do what I want to do, too. So I did.
Well, what year was that? Was that in the early 50s when you went back?
Yeah. I think it was around 1960. I think it was around 1960 when they went out on strike. No, it must have been before that. It was in the 50s sometime. Maybe 51 or 52. It must have been in the 50s. Because it was soon after I went back. And they called this strike. And you know the funny part of it was? It was out 7 weeks. They went back for less than Douglas offered them in the first place. Yeah. Well, you see, that's why the union never made too much sense to me. I belong to the retirees, the union. And once in a blue moon, I think the last time I went to one of their meetings was about, at least 5-6 years ago. We had a dinner, and this friend of mine wanted to go, so I went along. That is, I took her since it was my car. And we had dinner. We saw a lot of people that we had worked with. It was nice. But they never made any distinction about my breaking strike. If they had, I wouldn't have cared. I'm a stronger person than that.
Did you ever go to meetings or anything? Union meetings?
No. Never. They'd have thrown me out if I had. Because I'm not above speaking up. No, I never had any problems, really. I guess some of them might have felt it, but I didn't. And I went about my business, and I didn't try to push in anywhere. If people wanted to be friendly, fine, I was friendly. If they didn't want to be, I was going to let them do their thing, and I'd do mine.
Did you have any kind of social life during this time?
None. The shift I worked didn't allow for that. I worked graveyard all during the war. That meant I had to leave home about 10 o'clock at night. And I was busy with my family up until that time. And during the daytime, people would see me and they'd say, "Oh, you're not working anymore." No, I didn't have any social life.
Did you miss it?
Horribly. Yeah, I like people. I like to have, I like to talk and laugh. And the only social life you would say I did have was going down to my sister's plumbing shop and talking to her. And then even she didn't seem to realize that I was up all night. She'd come down in the morning and she would say, "We're going to San Diego today to see Aunt Belle. Don't you want to go along?" And I said, "Well, gee, I've got to go to work tonight." "Oh, well, you can sleep to and from." Well, there'd be four of us in the car. I'd go. Four of us in the car and all of them talking. And then we'd talk all the time we were down here. Well, I guess you did. I did have some social life.
See? Depends on how you define it.
That's right. But as far as being able to go out and play cards or go to a movie, no. None. The days I was off was clean house and do the washing and do the so much girls' clothes up and teach her how to sew. She did. She's a better seamstress than I am. But that was it.
Did you date at all?
No. Frankly, I wasn't interested in any man. I had been hurt too badly and I didn't trust him. However, there was a boy in our neighborhood when we were just children, oh, maybe 10, 12 years old, and They lived close, and he always liked to come over to our house, and he used to be there underfoot all the time. I never thought anything about him. And one day he showed up. He had talked to my sister-in-law in San Bernardino, found out my address, and he came over to see me. And he had never married. So he used to come down every Sunday, and he got kind of romantic, or thought he was, and I told him, well, I had the job of raising the children, and it was just no go. He'd better look elsewhere. No, I never dated.
Did you ever get pressure from people like your sister or family or friends who said, "Oh, the children should have a father," or
"Oh, no, no, they figured that I'd had enough." my daughter brought home. Yeah. I couldn't stand him, really. I'd grown up with him, yes, but I couldn't stand him. But she thought it'd be kind of nice to have a man in the house. But she didn't pressure it. She just thought, well, she could have a bicycle.
Let's be practical.
Yeah, well, she was looking at it from the right point of view. But no, I wasn't interested.
Did you have help at all with the house and those kinds
None.
Of things?
No, only what my children gave me. Mm-hmm. No. They were very nice. They kept the house up and the lawn. With that, I had no complaints about the way they spent the grocery money. They did wonderful. And then, of course, my daughter was 12 years old. During the war, she got a job as a meat cutter. And she worked in the store, and of course, things were hard to get. But I never had any problem because she worked in the store. So there was no problem there. She'd bring things home that we needed, and that was it.
Did you have people that were close to you in the service, in the Army?
Well, my nephew, two nephews, yes. One was in the Air Force, and the other was, he was in the Navy, and he was stationed in Alaska. And he was up there all during the war. The one in the Air Force was in the Johnson Islands.
Did you ever feel any kind of connection between them being in the service and the kind
Well,
of
I felt concerned, doing? Very concerned, yes. But my sister's son was in the Johnson Islands. My brother's son was in Alaska. Oh, yes. I loved them all. I loved them very much. So many years, you know, that I didn't have any children, and I used to take care of all of them. They always remember me more or less affectionately, as do my sister's grandchildren.
How did your life change after your children came home? For a while they weren't with you, and then they were. How did that?
Well, it gave me that feeling that I was really alone. My daughter got married, and she went to Bermuda for 2.5 years. At the same time, my son was in Korea. So you're talking about after the war?
No, I'm talking about during the war when
they were
in the home for a while, and then they came home.
Well, I couldn't think of anything except trying to get a home so that they could come back. Mm-hmm. The responsibility was still heavily upon me. They were children, and it was harder to get around. It was harder to get the things that they needed, and I wanted them home. I couldn't wait hardly to get the house so that I could have them back home again.
How long after you had the house did they come home then?
Well, my daughter was already, she was there. She was working in the store. Mm-hmm. And I think 6 months after I moved into the house, then my son, I brought my son home.
Was that a busier time then?
Well, it felt better. Yes. It meant that I felt more secure. I felt I was giving them a feeling of security. which every child needs. Oh yes, it was all so much better when they were home again.
Was it a hard transition for you to, after you left your marriage, as far as making decisions?
No, I could make decisions. I've always been able to do that. I was just less able financially to make some of the decisions that were pushed on me. I knew that I'd have to watch it. I wanted a home and a place for the children where they would feel permanently at home. So that was a big step, buying that home. But I had to pay rent anyway. And so I only had to pay $25 a month on the loan that I got from the bank. And I laugh when you think of today's prices and that. But then the money went further. And but it was a big decision. And there was furniture in the house, and it was pretty dilapidated, but I had the overstuffed suite redone, and I made it look good. And I even found a carpet that I think I only paid about $20 for the carpet. But, you know, 20 years later, it still looked brand new. So, really, I made a lot of decisions that a lot of women never realize. You probably would, because you're going through the same thing. But as far as making up a mind on anything, I had no problem there. My mind was made up when I got a divorce that we were going to have a home, and we were going to have a better life, which we did.
I know you worked at night and were home during the days, but did your children ever have any kind of child care?
No, they didn't. No. Catherine got in with a very, very nice group of girls. As a matter of fact, it was a small town. Seal Beach was extremely small. And she got right in with a Girl Scout group, and she went to Sunday school, and the girls she went with, the most was a golf player, and she later got to be quite a personage on the golf course. And when she finished college, well, she got to be a physical culture teacher in school. So, no, they more or less kind of migrated together, the children. And Shirley and Catherine were very close. She was an only child, and they were happy to have her. She was less problem, I guess, with Catherine around than she was without. And Bob, in turn, was real close to a relative of a relative, an only child again. And his father had a garage. And we spent a lot of time in that garage. And one time I went home, and the boys were out already playing. And they had made this soapbox car and had to have lights. So they had two cans on the front of this soapbox car. It was all of wood, and except the wheels. And they had put soaked waste in those cans and lit it. And, you know, with the wind blowing, that flame was coming back towards the driver. My heart stood in my throat. But there really wasn't any problems. Except one time when I went home, I had managed to get a vacuum cleaner, and Bob had taken it home, carried it home, so that it's going to be easier to vacuum the carpet, the one carpet, the whole house. And he found out that by putting the hose on a certain way, it would blow. See, they go through all this. They find out how things work. And so he and Kenny had wadded up newspapers and put it end of the hose and blew it against the wall, and there forever that stuck to the black mark. Yeah. Oh, and they did all kinds of things, and he thought he was pretty good doing electric work. And so he decided that he would fix the waffle iron. Do all the fuses and the whole block. I never did tell the neighbors it was him that did it, but...
I want to know if when he blew the newspaper against the wall, he had to wash the wall.
No, I had it painted. to wash that newsprint off of the wall would have smeared it to a place where it wouldn't be livable. So I had it painted.
You said that you saw your sister. You lived close with her. Were there other members of your family that you got to spend very much time with during the war?
I didn't get to spend very much time with them. My brother lived in Long Beach, and his son was in Alaska. Then he had a daughter who worked at Douglas, and she married a chief petty officer. She raised his children, but she never had any of her own. And now she's raising their children. So, I saw them, not all that often. And then my brothers from San Bernardino used to come down. And I could have done without a lot of their visits, because they brought friends with them. And they'd leave their wet towels on the Davenport. You know, mine was just a beach house, but it was my home. And they'd come down, spend the day, but that's all. They couldn't really stay away that long either, because both those brothers were, one was a foreman in the Santa Fe, and the other was a longtime mechanic. And machinist, rather. And so they had to be on the job all the time. And their daughter, who I'm very close to, she was just raising her family. She had three boys, but they were 7 years apart. So, she had her hands full. Each one of us had our problems, and so there wasn't all that much visiting around. This aunt, who lived in San Diego, she had a daughter in Chicago, but we didn't get down there that often. The transportation wasn't all that good, and gas wasn't all that easy to get. I didn't have a car, but my sister did. And her husband had the plumbing shop. He needed all the gas he could get to run his truck. But she was free to go any place she wanted to. And after the war, well, at the end of the war, why, then they put in a regular showroom, and then she was tied down in the plumbing shop. And,